Hello and welcome to the Equine Connection podcast, sponsored by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I am Dr. Nicole Rambo, and I am joined today by equine specialist extraordinaire, Heather. Heather, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
So good. And Sarah. Sarah, welcome.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So today's topic, I think, is a really interesting one that maybe not a lot of people are exposed to. It's a question I get somewhat regular-ish basis, and it's one that you guys brought to me, I don't know, a week or two ago, and I said, hey, here's what we're going to do, and also save that for the podcast because I think it's a good one. So, you know, these are the real things that we talk about every day. But with that, Heather, do you want to tee us up for what we have going on this week?
Absolutely. So this is a case that came in. It's a racehorse. He is 9 years old. He has been on one of our race products, the Tough to Beat, for the last 4 to 5 years. And this horse, he had a recent vet checkup and some lab work drawn. His liver enzymes did come back high. His GGT went from 34 to 50. And she was questioning if he needed a diet change or if there was anything else going on with him.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so to start with, context clues would tell me that this is a standard bred. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. When we have a 9-year-old racehorse, most of the thoroughbreds have run out of conditions at that point. But our standies, I mean, they can actually race until, you know, pretty long. The ones we have at the research farm, some of them don't make it to the track. And then we have ones that are, I think, retired at 12 is our oldest in my other crew of standies. I love a good standard bred. But this is most frequently a question I get out of the standard bred industry. I do say sometimes the thoroughbred trainers are doing the same thing as well. And it's the same question, like, what is in the feed that's making my horse's liver enzymes high, or is there something that I need to change? So big picture, there's multiple different things that can go wrong with the liver of the horse in different reasons. So there are some viruses that can impact the liver. We can see elevated liver enzymes because of those. There's even some parasites that can impact the liver. Those are relatively rare. There's, you know, the unknown origin liver disease. And I know, guys, we've talked about some of those horses and other breeds where they've been diagnosed with liver disease and we're looking to make dietary changes because the liver is not functioning the way it should. There's a couple different enzymes you can measure. GGT would be one. LDH, AST, all of those are measuring different functions in the liver, you know. But if we have a horse with liver disease for, you know, whatever unknown reason, maybe they've gotten into toxic weeds, something like that, their liver function isn't great, we do look to make the diet as easy on the liver as possible. And thinking about biologically the liver's functions, it has a role in protein metabolism and fat metabolism. So we're looking at feeding diets that are lower fat, and we want to meet their protein need, but not exceed it. So we don't put any extra stress on the liver itself. So like avoiding alfalfa, you know, your legume heavy hay, that for the healthy horse would be fine. But for a horse with kidney disease or liver issues, we're going to want to meet but not exceed their protein requirements. So oftentimes we're actually feeding these critters a higher non-structural carbohydrate diet, because if we're not feeding fat as our energy source, fiber, we're going to maximize to the extent we can. But then that leaves starches, which are very easily digestible, as our energy source. However, a little bit different situation in the racehorses. So there is actually research on this. Sometimes it's called GGT syndrome. And what happens, often we see it in younger horses, sometimes older horses as well. It's actually a symptom of either, there's two terms thrown around, overtraining or maladaption to training, which is to say that it's especially in a 9-year-old, like the training program he was on was probably appropriate, right? Oftentimes we see the overtraining syndrome in the young horses, but what you're seeing is not a byproduct of a feeding program or anything else. You're actually seeing a physiological response to horses not doing well in training. And the interesting part of that is this always comes up because why do people do blood work in horses?
Typically, they'll check for allergies.
Well, there's that. And sorry, I like threw you guys what's almost a trick question, but like the horses aren't performing, right? Like most folks aren't running around just pulling blood on horses who are healthy and winning races and whatever. And I see Sarah's nodding at me. This, so that's a little bit of a trick question. So ultimately, when I think about dietary impacts on the liver, mycotoxins can cause some transient increases in some liver enzymes. Hopefully, you're using a feed company that's pre-screening for mycotoxins. So that's something we do with all the incoming ingredients, is to make sure that we don't have a mycotoxin issue. But you'd often see more than one liver enzyme elevated in mycotoxin situations. If horses are fed toxic amounts of stuff, so like insane amounts of certain minerals, some of that stuff, we can impact the liver. But these questions, this horse is eating a balanced feed set at a normal rate, we're not going to impact the liver on those type of diets. So it's really often not the answer trainers are looking for. And that isn't to say there's something wrong with their conditioning program, whatever. But for whatever reason, particularly in the young horses, they're not responding to training as they should be. Their fitness isn't where it should be. And the reason that horses are performing poorly is what causes the elevation. So it's a symptom of the issue, not the cause of the issue.
So Dr. Rambo, you, in the beginning, you mentioned a liver issue, disease, toxicity, whatever could be, could come upon the horse if they were to eat some type of weed. So would we have any concern that there'd be a type of weed in the hay that we would have to pay attention to? Like, would that have any cause to the elevated liver enzymes there?
I think it's worth looking, right? Generally in those situations, though, you're going to have many horses with a problem, not just single individuals. So not to say that it's always not worth going through your hay and looking for those sort of things. I'd say that's often more common when horses are turned out on like really overgrazed pasture and maybe not fed enough forage that we tend to see them eating some toxic weeds. Doesn't mean it can't happen in other situations as well. Oftentimes, those are interesting cases. Oftentimes, we actually find those issues because the horses develop photosensitization. They start like having bubbling or sun peeling on their noses, places like that, because there are certain toxic weeds that can cause that, which also impact the liver. So I'd say in these training racehorses, it would be rare, but absolutely worth, you know, checking off the list, especially if we have multiple horses having that sort of issue.
Is there any type of supplement in this case or anything we could add to the diet to better support the liver in a scenario like this?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I know, you know, there's some use of herbs and different things. Unfortunately, like in terms of standardization, testing, safety, I haven't seen the data to really support the use of some of those things. So ultimately, you know, and especially in our case, so this is a horse we're feeding, they're on a very appropriate feed, I would not add anything. So, you know, the fix to this is often backing off a little bit. So not necessarily taking them completely out of work, but backing down for a few weeks, you know, letting them rest a bit and then slowly working them back up, doing a repeat blood test after we've kind of backed them off a bit to see if they're then ready to go back into training. I'd also like to think about just addressing like holistic health from, do we have ulcer issues or any other stressors that might be underlying this as well? It's a good time to look at those. And then, you know, to your question, maybe if we find they're very ulcer prone, we might put a gut health supplement. But that's more to address an underlying issue versus address the liver itself.
Are there any outward appearances outside of poor performance that we should be, or you know, these trainers, race guys should be looking out for, or that we could tell there were any elevated liver issues just from an outward, you know, behavioral, anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally, horses might be a little unthrifty. Like maybe they're not maintaining their white quite as well, coat's not as great, but unfortunately, those are non-specific signs. Part of why the blood work is valuable, right? So, you know, the horses could be ulcery, there could be something totally different going on that have those same symptoms. So there is value in doing that blood work. Unfortunately, it's a non-specific indicator. And oftentimes when we find an abnormality, we want to treat the abnormality. And it's not that simple in this particular case. Now, some other liver, like intense liver disease, you know, sometimes you'll see things like neurological symptoms that actually come from that, because part of the liver's role is to filter toxins from the blood, and a buildup of those toxins could cause neurological symptoms. Horses can actually like become jaundiced in extreme situations, but that's different. That's on an opposite end of the spectrum than this kind of GGT overtraining type syndrome, where mostly they seem fine. They're just not quite themselves.
Would you say that in this case, that this is pretty standard bred specific or discipline or breed specific by any terms?
Oh, good question. So most of the research has been done in standard breds. I definitely see it cropping up in thoroughbreds as well. Generally, so those are the critters doing just the absolute highest level of work. So generally, I'd say it's pretty specific to them. Not ruling out that this kind of maladaption to training might not happen at the elite level in something like endurance. I haven't run across a case, but I think that would be possible. You could maybe see like upper level 3-day eventers, because those horses do so much fitness work and have to be really fit. But generally speaking, like as the average horse owner, you've probably got to the end of this podcast, and I hope you found it interesting, but ultimately not something you probably have to worry about. This is really horses who are in intense levels of work who generally we run into this issue.
Is this a pretty normal age range to be seeing this issue, or is it more correlated to just that workload?
It's more correlated to workload. Most of the data is in very young horses because they are just becoming fit. They're really subjecting them to intense training for the first time. So the majority of the research has been done in young horses. This would not be the only older horse that I have had this issue crop up with. And older horse in a standard bred, or even older horse in a thoroughbred, right? We're talking about different age ranges, but like a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old, sometimes in the thoroughbred, we'll see it. Certainly, you know, racing standard breds, it could be, and I don't say this in any place of shame, but like it could be an indicator that we have to start thinking about, you know, what's the next step for this horse if it becomes a repeat problem in a 9-year-old who is not responding to training appropriately. So I would certainly try rest, reconditioning, all of those things before I thought about that. But certainly it could be an indicator that, you know, it's, you know, time to start thinking about what that second career might be, maybe.
So in this case, what we're saying is basically we're just leaving his diet the same. We're not going to make a lot of changes.
Pretty much. It's the simplest answer possible, right? Now, if we are going to back off his workload, we might need to decrease the quantity he's being fed, just like from a maintaining appropriate body condition standard. Really depends on the critter. If he's lost some weight, you may leave him at the same feeding rate so that he gains some weight back, you know, as you go through this slowdown period a little bit. Overall, I would not recommend changing the diet in this particular situation. So fun question. I hope everyone enjoyed learning about it today. These a little bit niche things, you know, also excite me. So that's a lot of fun. So with that being said, if you guys have any specific topics that you'd like us to talk about, please reach out. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram, our website, tributeequinenutrition.com, or you can also give us a call. Sarah, what's our phone number?
Our phone number is 419-294-3838, extension 235. We would love to hear from you.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening. If you could leave us a 5-star review, let us know what you want us to talk about, all those fun things. It's great for circulation. And we appreciate you as listeners. Sarah, Heather, thank you so much for joining me today. Looking forward to the next chat.
Of course. Y'all take care.
Thanks for having us.